Lord God, may your word be spoken. May your word be heard. May your word be lived in our lives.
Amen.
Hello again. I find it interesting that the first Sunday in Lent coincides this year with Valentine's Day. It doesn't happen very often. And it suggests an interesting way to look at this entire season, which is so often regarded almost as something to dread. I find myself wondering, what do Lent and love have to do with each other? But I want to set that question aside for one moment and go straight to the gospel for today. This event happens after Jesus has been to the Jordan, after the voice from heaven has declared, "You are my son, the beloved. I am well pleased with you." From the riverbank, he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit for a period of spiritual testing. It's important that this experience happened in the wilderness. The wilderness is a very important theme in Jewish tradition. The wilderness is not the same as a desert. It is very dry, certainly by our standards, but not entirely barren. It's more rocky than sandy, and scrubby plants do grow there. But it's a hard and unforgiving landscape, not a place for a vacation. In some of the Old Testament stories, the wilderness is a place to get through. It is the place between one state and another. Most often in Israelite and Jewish experience, it is a place between slavery and freedom, between servitude and entering into their inheritance as God's chosen. In other passages in the Old Testament, the wilderness was the place where someone went deliberately to encounter God. The most well-known example would be Elijah, who fled into the wilderness because Jezebel had promised to kill him. He went not only to escape, but because he needed God to reaffirm his ministry. God did, answering him in that still, small voice. What was the wilderness for Jesus? We can see how it might have been for him a place of passage from his life as a young man working his trade in a small village in occupied Palestine to the very public and dangerous life of a man on a mission to declare that God, and not the Romans, ruled over all. But it was also, in an unexpected way, a place in which his call from God was reaffirmed. Now, we are conditioned to think of temptation as being enticed to indulge in too much good food, or too much intoxicating drink, or too much in the way of physical pleasures. All those things which today would be labeled as conspicuous consumption, and in the past were called carnal pleasures. And we think of the devil as a sly, sleazy, mustache-twirling figure whose entire reason for being is to lure us into such indulgences. In reality, the role of the tempter in the Old Testament, especially, for example, the book of Job, and in the Gospels, is one of testing God's people, individually or collectively, testing to see if they will remain faithful to God in the face of hardship and struggle. The real temptation for God's servants in any age is not self-indulgence, or not only that. The real temptation is the human urge to seek the easy answer, the quick fix, the least costly way forward. That's how Jesus was tempted. You are God's son. Well, then there's no need for you to be hungry. There's no need for you to endanger yourself proclaiming God's reign. And certainly there's no need for you to put your life at risk in all this. Here's the quick fix to all of that. No cost, no blame, only popularity and certain success. Except Jesus knew better. There is no cheap way to respond to God's call. It costs everything we have, all that we are, because it's worth it. And it is in the wilderness that we learn that, because there is nothing to distract us from listening to God's word in our hearts. There is one more wilderness tradition in the Old Testament, which is related to that question I first asked. What do Lent and love have to do with each other? The prophets speak of the wilderness as the place where God betrothed Israel. Hosea is especially eloquent. He says, "Therefore I will now allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. From there I will give her her vineyards and make the valley of Achor a door of hope. There she shall respond as in the days of her youth, as at the time when she came out of the land of Egypt. On that day, says the Lord, you will call me my husband, and no longer will you call me my Baal. For I will remove the names of the Baals from her mouth, and they shall be mentioned by name no more. I will make for you a covenant on that day with the wild animals, the birds of the air, and the creeping things of the ground, and I will abolish the bow, the sword, and war from the land. And I will make you lie down in safety. And I will take you for my wife forever. I will take you for my wife in righteousness and in justice, in steadfast love and in mercy. I will take you for my wife in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord." Now that's a Valentine, if I ever heard one. So what will this Lent be for us, for you, for me? Will it be a season we just get through? Or will it be a time to face the real temptations in our lives, the temptations to take the easy, least costly way forward? My prayer is that it may be a time for us all to petition God to reaffirm our sense of being his people, his beloved. And may we discover, to our great comfort and delight, that God has called us into the wilderness only to reaffirm his deep and abiding love for us, so that as Easter dawns, we may know him who is the true source of our life and our joy.